Jeremy Stanton, Hashes, Vagishev.
The Haftorah this week of Parashas Vayeshev comes from the Sefer Omos, Perek Beis, and Perek Gimel. Interesting about Omos Hanovi, he was one of the Nevi'im who lived in the northern kingdom of Eretz Yisrael, under which every single melech was an Oved Avodah Zorah. Every single one was idolatrous. How much the people were idolatrous is a matter of different opinion. But the kings certainly were. And it wasn't terribly popular work to be a Novi anywhere, let alone in the northern kingdom. I'm going to quote you some psukim that don't come from the Haftorah. They come later on in Omos and Perek Zion. Amatzia was the Kohen Beis El. Beis El had an idolatrous temple in it. And the Kohen of it was a man called Amatzia. And Amatzia didn't like Omos Hanovi. Didn't like him at all. Bit afraid of him, but certainly didn't like him. So he sent a message to the king of Yisrael, who was called Yerovam. There were two kings called Yerovam. Yerovam Rishon was the main Yerovam after Shlomo HaMelech. There was another king called Yerovam many years later, this one here. And this Amatzia sent a message to Yerovam telling him that Omos is making a rebellion against you by his words, his nevuah. He's speaking badly about you. He says that you're going to be killed and that all of Yisrael are going to be exiled. And Omos hadn't said that. He hadn't said it. So therefore he told the king, let's get rid of him. Get rid of, either kill him or get rid of him. The king, Yerovam, didn't do anything. He left it alone. So Omos himself was addressed by Amatzia. Amatzia came to him personally and told him that, why don't you do the sensible thing and go south? Go to Yehuda. They're from people there like you. They'll appreciate you. They'll appreciate your prophecies. They'll give you money for it. They'll pay you for what you want to say. Instead of staying here and making yourself unpopular, why don't you go south? And then they'll like you. You can earn a decent living there with your nevuahs. Just get out of our country. We've got a nice, happy country without you. You see, the way they spoke to Nevi'im in those days and the way they speak to Rabbonim nowadays hasn't changed much. So, Omos said back to Amatzia, it's very kind of you, etc. But I'm not a Novi, he said about himself. I'm not a Ben Novi. I'm a businessman. I breed cattle. I inspect trees. Boles Shikmim, he said. I am an inspector of trees. I can see which good ones, bad ones, which ones need cutting. I can earn a good living, and I do earn a good living here. I don't need to go south to earn a living, you know. I don't need to earn a living from being a Novi. I'm not worried about that. If I wanted to earn money, I'd just stay working here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me prophecies and told me to come away from my work and go and do what I have to do. That's what he said I should do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to stop working and go and give nevuahs to the people here. They should come back to the Torah and keep the Torah. In other words, you can't frighten me, he said. Sending me south will not in any way say, oh yeah, he likes the money. He doesn't. I don't. Baruch Hashem, I'm staying here. And that's the last we hear about Amatzia. He told Amatzia, what's going to happen to you? He said to him, it's you yourself will be taken into captivity. The Radak says into Ashur. You'll be captured. Your land will be taken over. Your wife will be taken away. Your children will be killed. That's what he told Amatzia. That's the nevuah I've got for you personally. End of that masa. Back to the beginning of the Haftorah. In Perek Beis, we find that Omos gave a nevuah against each separate group, each separate nation, telling them that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with you is that he will forgive the first three national averos. But when you do a fourth one, that's it. He'll punish you for all four. In other words, you just do three, Hashem will let you off. Once you do the fourth, he'll bring the first three back and give you a punishment for all four put together. And he went to several of the non-Jewish nations. Before the Haftorah today, he went through Yehuda, and then he comes to Yisrael. And that's what we're talking about. Ka'omer Hashem al shlosha pishei Yisrael v'alarba lo eshivenu. The three sins of Yisrael, and before I should say, the three sins of Yisrael were the basic three. Gilai royos, avodah zorah, shrichus domim. Adultery, and immorality and murder. Those are the three things. And those were the three things that if you only did those three most terrible averus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would let you off. But you don't. You do one more thing. Al michrom ba kesef tzadik ve'evyam bavur na'aloyim. Interesting pasuk. To sell a tzadik for money and a poor man bavur na'aloyim. Now normal pshat na'aloyim is for shoes. Na'al is a shoe, na'alayim, a double word. Ayim ending is a double, two shoes. That's one pshat. Poshup pshat. Your justice, your judges are corrupt. They pervert justice for the sake of money. And that's what you're doing wrong. And for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forgive you for the three things before. He'll punish you for all of them. So, what's this bribery? Is that the judges, when they take money, just money to buy a pair of shoes, they're quite happy with that. That's enough. You give them a small amount of money to buy a pair of shoes, then they'll say, okay, what do you want us to do for the money? They take bribes. And they sell. They take, you've got two people in a court case. One's a guilty person, one's an innocent person. If the guilty person bribes the judge, then the judge will say, yeah, you're the winner. And the innocent person will be sold into slavery, or he'll arrange to sell the innocent person to the guilty person. That's what's going to happen. That's how perverse they are. And as a result of that, he almost told them, the whole country is going to be punished. In other words, for all four things. The first three would have let you off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tolerate the first three, but the fourth one is not going to be accepted. The word na'aloyim. As I said, normal pshat is shoes. But there's another idea. Lin'ol is to the ilah, is to seal, is to close in. So he told them, one of the things that they do is if you've got a judge who's got two fields, and the two fields are separate, there's one field in between. So it makes sense to buy the one in the middle, and that way you've got all three together. Very useful. He's going to knock down the fences, make a big fence all the way around, and go through the whole lot without having to go into one field, go out of it, along the road, and then into the other field, because he can't go through the middle. So you know what happens? So the judge is very happy with the idea that the man in the middle should somehow be brought to court and have to lose his own field, which the judge will then buy up. That's na'aloyim. The judge is happy that that man in the middle, between his own two fields, will have to sell his field. The judge will then pay for it. And having paid for it, he's got a nice big piece of land, easily accessible from one end to the other. That is pshat, the Mefarshim say of na'aloyim here, of to seal up the land. The Targum Yonason says that this bavur na'aloyim is bedil de yachsanun, in order to take possession, to inherit. The idea being that the judge can take what belongs to the poor person himself. So the judge has a negius, has a personal interest in making sure that that poor person loses the case. What else do they do? Hashofim, next pasuk, Hashofim alafar eretz. They breathe out, they aspire, they're on the dust of the ground. Barosh Dalim, or the head of the poor. What do you mean, the dust of the ground on the head of the poor? We normally keep our head above the dust. No. They'll tell the poor person to pay up. And when the poor person doesn't want to pay up, the judge will order his servants to push the man into the dust. Literally, to beat him up till he's on the ground. And he's wallowing literally in the dust. And the dust will be literally on his head and the poor man can't get up. Nebuch. Because the judge wants that man to pay up every penny he's got. That's what they do. They literally, they look, they breathe the air. The air they breathe goes out and literally to push the earth into the face of the poor person. V'derech hanovim yatu, they pervert the way of the humble. What does that mean? It says, v'ish, the next part of the pasuk, ish v'oviv yelcho lanaro, l'man chalas shem kodshi, to make a chilul Hashem, an aveiro of a man and his own son, together to do zanus with the same woman. A naro is usually referred to as a naro morosa. A woman who's 11, 12 years old, she just got married. And just got married, and you'd think that she herself would have no taiva to do zanus. But the way the land runs its own affairs, she's encouraged to do zanus. They'll pay her to do zanus. And not only that, but you'd think at the very least, a father would be embarrassed to do such a maaseh in front of his own son. And a son would be embarrassed to do such a maaseh in front of his own father. But because there's such a lack of tznius in the country, because there's such a lack of anovo, such a lack of humility in the country, there's no difference. Such an extreme situation where you have a father and son happily going together without the slightest sense of shame. So it's not just the Aveira itself. Yeah? How many people are there who do have a taiva for Zanus, but they don't have a taiva for Zanus in public? Don't want anybody to know about it. And here, the Pasuk says, they have a taiva to go together, and why? Leman chal leshem kodshi. It's not even the Zanus that's important. It's the Chilul Hashem that's important. Literally. So the Aveiro, you think that at the end of the days when we get to, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us to the Beis Din Shel Maalo, and why did you do this Aveiro? Nu, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, what can I do? I had a taiva, I had a taiva, you gave me a taiva, Yetzorah. And it says here, this was not why they did the Aveiro. It wasn't the Yetzorah for the Aveiro itself. It was the Chilul Hashem they wanted to do. Leman Chal, that's why. Person who eats food that isn't kosher, why does he eat food that isn't kosher? It's cheaper. Yeah, it's tasty. I like it. What can I do? I'm a human being. What can I do? And the Rabbeinu Shem says, no. This particular food, you didn't like the food. You were doing it on principle to show that you don't eat kosher. Lahachis. That's the type of people we're talking about. Where the Averas were done for the sake of Chilul Hashem, not for the sake of the taiva of doing the Avera itself. That's how bad it was. There's no Kedusha. Interesting, one of the connections between the Sidra this week and the Haftorah, we find Yosef. Yosef was in a situation where he could have got away with, everybody was away. He was the only person left because he didn't go to their Avodah Zorah. And it was a day where they had a festival there. All the men went. Nobody was in the house. And not only that, it wasn't even a question of persuading the lady to do Znus with him. She was persuading him. She was coming to him. And Yosef has to answer back. And there's nobody around. Nobody's going to stop him. The woman wants to do Znus with him. And Yosef had tzaddik, was able to control himself and say, B'chotosi le'lokim. Exactly the opposite. Chotosi le'lokim. I cannot do this Aveira. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I can't do it. In other words, Leman Kiddush Hashem. If I were to do such a thing, I'd be doing an Aveira to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Nothing else matters. I can't do what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants me not to do. Pasuk continues, Val begodim chavulim yatu. They lie down, they recline on garments which they have taken as a mashkan. When they take, then they take this poor man to court to get his money, and if he hasn't got the money, then they take his clothes away from him. So that he'll pay up sooner or later, he wants his clothes back. And what do they do with those clothes? He raped, put them on the ground, and they sit on them. In other words, not even a question of we'll put it away somewhere till unfortunately you can get the money to pay back. We have to take a mushroom from you. What can we do? We'll put it in a cupboard somewhere. No, they don't put it in a cupboard. They put it on the ground. They sit on it. That's what they do. They take it to their temples, their idolatrous temples, and they offer up sacrifices there to their idols there in these places. And what do they sit on? They sit on the clothes they've confiscated. And Yeinanushim Yishtu, they take Anushim, Onush is a fine, Onesh. So they take the money that they fine the people. And what do they do with that money? They use it for a public use? No, there's no public use. The judges take the money they've confiscated and they buy wine with it for themselves. In Beis Eloheihem. And where do they drink the wine? They drink the wine with the sacrifices they make to their Avodah Zorah. That's how bad it is. So, what happens next? So the Navi tells them, Anochi Shmati Esomerim B'Pneihem. You know, we came to Eretz Yisrael. Of the Sheva nations, the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael, the fiercest and the strongest was not the Canaanim. The fiercest were the Amorim. The Amorim were on both sides of the river Yarden. Sichon Melech Amori, Og Melech Aboshon were two Amori kings. And we know how big they were, we know how strong they were. And Moshe Rabbeinu personally was responsible for killing Sichon and killing Og Melech Aboshon. Right? And then when they came to the other side, the Amori were there again. And Yeshua had to fight against them. We're told the Nisim that we had to get the Amori, the Nisim, were that the Tzira'ah, the wasp, the hornets came along. And they did literally Nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. We could not defeat the Amori on our own. It was Nisim in HaShomayim. These wasps came along. They blinded them. Literally, the Mephoshim say they blinded the enemies from above. And they castrated them from below. And that way they were easy to be killed. Literally, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to help us conquer Eretz Yisrael and help us conquer the Amori. Right? The Pasuk says, Asher Gogovah Rosim Magofo, they're as tall as cedars. Choson Hu Ko Alonim, they're as strong as Alonim. Some say Alonim are oak, some say chestnuts. Different Mephoshim, some say with the pine tree. Right? And what happened? It says, "Vashmid piryo mimal v'sharoshav mitochas." I destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I destroyed their fruits on above and the roots from below." What does that mean? The Rashi says, "The fruit from above is the malachim sorim elyonim, the malachim the in Shomayim who are in charge of the Amori nation." Trying to help the nation. Every single person, every single nation has got its own malach, whose job it is in Shomayim is to fight the case of that nation. Right? Fight the cause. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to deal with the malachim in Shomayim, that's the Sorim Ha'elyonim, and the roots from below is the Sorim HaTachtonim, is the various princes, the their leaders, their chiefs down here on earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to destroy them as well. So that with all that we were able to take over the Emori, and with them the other six nations were relatively easier to conquer in Eretz Yisrael. But it was the Emori was the main one. So having done that, I brought you up, Anochi Eleisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, I brought you up from Mitzrayim. And I took you through the Midbar for 40 years to possess, and then you came to the land of the Amori. And unfortunately, the Radak says, the Hashem trained us. If we had gone straight into Eretz Yisrael, when we came out of Mitzrayim and received the Torah, we would have been so weak at our knowledge of Torah and Shmiras HaMitzvos, that we'd have gone straight into the Eretz Yisrael with the Amori there, and they would have converted us to their religious beliefs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately kept us in the Midbar for 40 years to train us in learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, so we would be strong to be able to resist their philosophy, which was going to would have ruined the Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom. So that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept us there. And now, It's brought us into Eretz Yisrael hundreds of years later, and unfortunately we're not living the life we should be living, almost tells them. V'okim ibneichem neviim. I made your sons neviim when they were young. Shmuel HaNovi was a Novi from the age of 3. Yirmiyah HaNovi was a Novi when he was a boy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I made young people. Mibauchureichem ninezirim. I took your young men and made them into nezirim. The Gemara in Shabbos says that Yosef HaTzadik was the first Nozir. When he was in Mitzrayim the entire time, until his brothers came, he didn't drink wine once. There was no Aveira at the time to drink wine, but he deliberately, even though he had the opportunity to do so, he would not drink wine because his father was suffering. So he became... They didn't drink wine, but we're told that... that was because they felt sorry for their father, what they'd done. But he was away. He was on his own. Nobody was there to check up on him. And he still decided to keep a certain level of Kedusha for himself. Right? So we're saying... To the next point. So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu especially trained young men because we don't listen to the old ones. The old ones, well, of course the old ones tell us off. They're too old anyway. They've got no knowledge of what life is all about. Yeah, they're old. They've lost their tivus to do anything anyway. So therefore, they're not able to tell people off. Whereas the young people, and young people we know, have got all the tivus in the world. And we had young people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, especially made them into tzaddikim, especially made them into nevi'im. To give lessons, to give shiurim, young people would give shiurim to the people. And that would help them to see that if these young people can make such a kiddush Hashem by controlling themselves, then that ought to influence other people. And it didn't work. It didn't work. Yeah, isn't this true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says? What did you do? The people there, they saw that there were Nazirim, and they saw how holy the Nazirim were, so they forced them to drink wine. They pushed the wine onto them. Yeah, it says, "Vatashkas anzirim yayin," and you told the Nevi'im not to prophesy, we don't want to listen to you. In other words, they destroyed the work Hashem was creating in Klal Yisrael. So as a result of that, what's going to happen? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to make things harder for you. I'm going to send the enemy against you. The Ashur will come against them, the Assyrians. The Pasuk says, Anuchi meik tachteichem. I'm going to oppress you. Kashe toi kwa golo hamleo lo omir. You've got a cart, you've got a wagon, and the wagon's full of sheaves. And it's weighing it down. You're going to find the same feeling on you, that your life is going to get harder and harder and harder, more and more pressure. You think you're living here, you're going to be all right. You're not going to be all right. You're going to find lots of people coming along, and each one of them, bit by bit, will make your life unbearable. And then you won't be able to avod monos mikol, that somebody who can run will not be able to run away. Chozok leyametz koach, kocho, a person who's strong won't be able to get his strength together. Gibbelo yimalit nafsho, a person who's mighty won't deliver himself. All these people will lose their strength, they will lose their courage. And once a person's lost his courage, then he just simply gives up. And he realizes there's nothing more to do. I can't do anything. I can't achieve anything. So he gives up. And they'll just either be killed in Eretz Yisrael itself, or they'll be taken captive and go into Golos. That's what will happen. And the Foster Tophes Akeshus Lo Yamod. It's a person who's an archer, a skilled archer, won't be able to do it. One by one, all the people with all the power they've got, they won't be able to use it. And not only that, Amitz Liver Bagibarim Orum Yomun Svayamahu. The Pasuk says that somebody who's normally got courage, he's a skilled soldier, he'll throw his weapons away because they make it harder to run. Instead of turning around and using his weapons against the enemy, he'll be so scared that he'll throw the weapons down because it makes it easier to run away. It's a lack of courage. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a question of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking the strength away from people. The strength will still be there, but it'll be the lack of mentality. The ability to fight, they won't have the ability anymore because they'll just simply give up. They'll see the enemy is so powerful, why should we even try? So they'll run as far as they can, but then they'll get killed or be taken into captivity. So now, almost goes back to telling them what the people should do. He says, in the name of Hashem, listen to what I told you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got a message for all of you. Al Kol HaMishpacha, the family, the Jewish family. It's a word used about Klal Yisrael being a family. We come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's interesting, the Mefarshim say that not only the Jews are called a family, in Zechariah we find Mishpachas Mitzrayim. The Egyptians are a family, all descended from a man called Mitzrayim. Right? We find Mitzrayim in Sidra Nach. So, we've got one of those, Ben Chom. So what have you got? We've got every nation has a sense of being together. Yes, we're together. You can't tell somebody about their family. I don't want to hear bad things about my family. This is my family. I identify with my family. Klal Yisrael, of all other things about us, we are a family. We are together. Yes? Some people in this room are related to other people in this room. But without that, the very fact that you see a Yid in the street, and the Yid is not a Frum Yid, hasn't got a couple on, he doesn't seem to keep anything, but you identify. Nobody says that, I don't identify with him, but every one of us does identify. We're a mishpacha. We've got to work together, and we have that sense of, if that Yid, who is a friar Yid in the street, I can invite him to my house on Shabbos. If he would come, I'd invite him. Why? Because he is part of me. We're a mishpacha. And that's how we stand, that's how we rise, and that's how we fall. We stay together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rak eschem yodati mikol mishpachos ha'adomo. You are the only ones I know. Which Chazal say means I know. Rashi says, Ohavti. Yedio is Ahava. To know is to love. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you mikol mishpachos ha'adomo more than all the other families in the world. The whole world is built of families, but my love especially for Klal Yisrael, and for that reason, most famous pasuk this, because I love you more than everybody else, Al kein efkod aleichem at kol avonoseichem. For that reason, I will punish you for all your averos. Famous Gemara and Avodah Zorah about this. What's going on here? Funny idea. I love you more than everybody else, so I'm going to punish you. Right. So the Gemara in Avodah Zorah gives a moshel. A man lends money to two people. He lends money to a friend and money to an enemy. From the friend he collects little by little. Collects nothing from the enemy, leaves the enemy. There's a deadline. Deadline, 31st of December, you got till the end of the year. Alright? He collects nothing from the enemy. When the deadline comes along, he goes to him, you owe me all the money. And the man says, I can't pay it. So he puts him in prison, he tortures him, he gets everything, literally everything in one go. Tries to get it in one go, and the man can't give him one go. But the creditor knew he wouldn't be able to. He deliberately left him in order to be able to punish him in the end. That was the purpose. The Al-Sheikh explains. He says that what's the idea? The man tells his friend, I know it's hard to pay a debt, so pay me £1 a day. Just pay me a small amount. And by the end of the year, you'll have paid up the entire debt. And you won't feel it at all. If you're only paying £1 a day, but put your hand in your pocket and take £1 out every day. Shall we do it with stock all the time? If you pay your debt that way, you'll find it's all gone. But he tells the enemy, I want to have the money in full on the last days. No hurry, says to the enemy. There's no hurry to pay me. Yeah, you got till December 31st, you've got a whole year to go. At the end of the year, you'll pay me. And in practice, the person spends his money as he goes along, and he's got nothing left. And when the last day comes along, he's in terrible tzaras. He can't even pay any of the debt. In the same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes everybody has averus. Right? We're human beings. We do averus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity, apart from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The very fact you have an Elul, a Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Metzuvah, a Yom Kippur, a Shana Rabbah, we've got these days where we're told, improve. Because we're human, and we will go down as we go along. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity, bit by bit, to go up again. Wherever we went down to, wherever you are, you can go up. Wherever, everybody. There is no nafkamina. The biggest tzaddik will be crying on Yom Kippur because the biggest tzaddik can see the things he has done wrong. He doesn't go around thinking, I'm a grosser tzaddik, I'd ever do anything wrong. The bigger the tzaddik, the more he knows what he's done, and he improves himself. And everybody else does the same thing. If everybody else, when we'll get to it, all the droshas that we get. So it comes to Elon Yom Kippur. We've all got one or two things at very least that we've improved ourselves on. We've got that. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the push throughout. But the goyim, what do they have? What do they have? I mean, how many people have pointed out the nafka minna between our new year and the goyisha new year? The goyisha new year is Purim, as far as they're concerned. They get shikha. That's how they celebrate. And what do we do with the new year? We decide to spend the day thinking carefully about what we're meant to be doing in this world, what our purpose in the world is, our tachlis. And we're very grateful. I vote on Shech Yonu. Why do we say Shech Yonu on Rosh Hashanah? Literally, you say Shech Yonu, every happy occasion in the year, wonderful, any new thing comes along. But Rosh Hashanah? Why do we say Shech Yonu on Kiddush Rosh Hashanah? What's so happy? We're going to start in trial the next morning. What's the Shech Yonu? The answer is, Baruch Hashem, we're going to stand in trial the next morning. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that opportunity to improve ourselves. Because it's not a question you're going to stand in trial and that's it. If it was a question of trial followed by execution, Chas v'Shalom, there are courts in the world where that takes place, where the person is tried, and if they're found guilty, that's it, take them out and string them up. If we're found guilty on Rosh Hashanah, what have we got? Baruch Hashem, 10 days to improve. And then be let off altogether if we improve. So in other words, the Shech Yonu is the wonderful opportunity to be put on trial. And there's another point. The Shech Yonu and Rosh Hashanah is that, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we got through last year. Last year, Yom Kippur was almost a year back. 11, 12 months ago, we had a Yom Kippur. How do we know how we got through the Yom Kippur last year? Because Baruch Hashem, we've gone right through. We're into the next year now. Baruch Hashem, we've had a whole year. Shech Yonu. This is our Klal Yisrael. We don't go around being sad that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is taking note of our Averos. We're happy about it. We're happy because we got this opportunity the whole time. We're not punished with our Averos. We are encouraged to do tshuva with our Averos and become better. And that's everybody on everybody's level. Nobody's personally feeling threatened by what I say. We're all the same. If I would tell you I do nothing wrong myself, but you lot do Averos, you wouldn't listen. Why should you listen? It's the fact that we're all equal. The fact that we can all improve, and we all do improve. So Mitzvah Hashem, Klal Yisrael are looked after. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to us. And the Goyim have nothing to compare to it. Absolutely nothing. In which case, whether the nation like the Roman Empire lasts for 1100 years, the Nazi Empire, La Yimach Shemom, lasted for 12 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then got rid of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to the Soviet Empire, 70 years. Every empire has got the number of years HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it till the number of Averos are completed. And once the number of Averos are completed, that's the end. That's how the Alshech is explaining it. Right? Rashi explains in the Gemara, he says in Avodah Zorah there that we, Klal Yisrael, are punished in Olam Hazeh, and we get to Olam Habo, we're innocent. We enjoy Olam Habo. The Goyim are left alone in this world. When they get to Olam Habo, they find they've got nothing left. Right? The Radak and the Ibn Ezra say that because Klal Yisrael is closer to Hashem, we've seen so many nisim, so many osos and mopsim throughout our lives. Individually, we see the Ashkocha Protis. Looking in a historical way at how Klal Yisrael have been through, what has happened to Klal Yisrael over thousands of years, one persecution after another, and whatever happens to one group of people, Baruch Hashem, the rest of Hamachan and Israel, if later, the camp that's remaining will escape. They'll be okay. Baruch Hashem, we're here today. Baruch Hashem. So therefore, we have so many nisim, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be stricter with us, because he expects a higher standard from us. Yeah? The Goyim don't have these nisim. They don't have a sense of Hashem looking after them as a nation. They don't have, where do you find Goyim talk about what Hashem has done for the English or the French? You don't hear it. The moshel is given that a king has servants, and a king has commoners around. The servants who work in the palace have a tremendous responsibility to behave themselves in the correct way because they're working for the king. Imagine somebody who's a cook in Buckingham Palace. To choose the person, to find the person, you've got to find, go around all the people A, who can cook, and B, who can be sensible, who know how to keep their mouths shut, who aren't going to go around shouting, telling everybody what I've saw in the palace. They've got to behave themselves. And if the cook does one little thing wrong, the cook will be thrown out of the job. Whereas the people outside, they talk as much as they like. Right? That's the difference. We are special. And because we're special, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us higher standards. And Baruch Hashem, we keep up to the standards. Psukim continue with various aspects of Nevuah that almost tells the people. Right? There are four separate Mesholim he gives. First one is that every Nevuah is planned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans the Nevuah and sends it at the right time. The second one he tells is that if there's a Nevuah that bad is going to happen, it's clearly the result of Averus and nothing else. The Averus trap us. We're trapped by our own things. And the fourth one is that we have to listen to what the Nevi'im say, because if we listen to them, we take advantage of what they've told us, we'll behave ourselves in the future, we'll correct, we'll do tshuva. All these things come together. It's a Pasuk Gimel. Says, Ayelchu Shnaim Yachtov built him no odu. Can two people walk together unless they agreed to walk together? Can a person get a Nevuah unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets that person? Just walking around and looking up, you won't get a Nevuah. If the Rabban Shem decides that the person is fit for one, and we've said that even children were given Nevuahs when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to, they'll get the Nevuah and the message will be there. It's interesting, the Pasuk says, Ayelchu Shnaim Yachtov built him no odu. No two people in the world walk at the same speed. If you ever see two people walking along a pavement, yeah? Yeah, they're ahead of you. You can watch them. So you see two people walking on the pavement, not together. Automatically, one will be walking faster than the other. You never find that two people are at the same speed. But yet, if you want to walk with somebody, then you automatically focus your speed and that of the other person. You will compromise. The faster one will slow down, and the slower one will push themselves a little bit faster. So if you see two people walking together, it's their effort on both of their parts to be able to walk together. You can't walk with somebody. A husband and wife, rarely will you find a husband and wife walking at the same speed on their own. They don't. But because there's the intention to go together, they come together. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be close to him. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a meeting. We might not see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but he wants to come with us. Then we've got to try and fit in with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and he will automatically fit in with us. That's how we go together. Now, other things say, will a lion, Hayishag Ariya Bayar, can a lion roar in the forest without having a prey? There's everything. The lion will only make a noise if he's got something. Yes? It's only if there's something there that he's caught, that's when you hear him roaring. He's not roaring because he hasn't caught, he's roaring because he has caught something. And it says, Hasipol tzipol pacha oretz, moke shein lo. Will a bird fall on the net on the ground unless there's a trap in there? The bird sees something, it sees the food, the bird swoops down for the food, and the trap is inside the net, and that's the way the bird is caught. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges that we want somebody to be caught, to be stopped in a particular way. The person's going along the way they think, oh, I'm going my way. I'm in charge of what I do. I've got my car. I've got my legs. I can go exactly where I want. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, if I don't want you to go that way, I will influence you to go a different way. Right? That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges it. Everything is organized. And finally, it says, Im yitok ha-shofar bo'ir. Will a shofar blow in the city without the people being afraid? In history, when they had guards around every city, if they saw an enemy coming, they'd blow the shofar. And the shofar would be blown, and literally people would know there is a problem. You've got to literally go and fight. You can't just carry on with life as normal. And Chazal say that is the symbolism of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the shofar to remember. In those days, the shofar had more of a meaning. For us, the shofar is only what we have in shul. But for them, the shofar meant there is danger coming along. It's up to us to go and do something about it. So we've got the shofar, and we hear the shofar, it teaches us what we have to do as a result. And then the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't do anything without giving the secret to the Nevi'im. In those days, when one Navi got a message, every other Navi got the same message, but only one was allowed to broadcast it, the others weren't allowed to say anything. Only the one Navi. We haven't got Nevi'im nowadays. We haven't got the level. But all the messages that the Nevi'im had 3,000 years ago are still there for us to learn from. And we do. So it says, last pasuk is Aryeh Shog Milo Yira, and a lion roared, who's not going to be afraid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to the Nevi'im, so they want to give. That's what it means. They will want to give their messengers. Some are allowed to, others are not. Sometimes it's a question of I have something to say, but somebody else will say it better than I will. So therefore it's my mitzvah to be quiet in order that somebody else can put the same message over but do it in a better way. The main idea, the idea of teaching, the concept of teaching is not the ability of somebody to give a brilliant lecture that nobody's going to listen to. The whole concept of teaching is that the person listening gets the message. In other words, you speak to somebody. If I'm phoning somebody up and they don't understand what I've said, they can either be very polite and just put the phone down, or they can say, could you please say that again? I didn't follow you. So the nekuda of a Navi giving a message over is that he's got this message totally clear. He knows the people need to hear it, but he's got to put it in a way that they get the message. It's not just a question of shouting at them. Nobody wants to listen to be shouted at, but if some Navi can give his message over to Klal Yisrael, then Klal Yisrael will listen to it, and one by one, Mitzvah Hashem, we all improve. Tachlis after. Yeah.